text is a gospel lesson that Pastor Adel just read. I'd just like to repeat these few verses here. You have heard that it is said to those of old, you shall not murder. But I say to you, and whoever murders is liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother is liable to judgment. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that he who looks at a woman to lust for her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it away from you. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it away from you. For it is better for you to enter without these parts into heaven rather than into hell, the fire of hell. Lord Jesus, God of grace and mercy, bless us this morning to hear these words. Help us in fighting our bad desires. And we pray that you would give us the peace of Christ in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. A little boy was in a grocery store. He was looking at an open box of chocolates. He was staring at them intently. The grocer came up to him and said, "Son, looks to me like you're trying to steal one of those chocolates." The little boy looked at the grocer and said, "Oh, no, sir. I'm trying real hard not to steal one of those chocolates." We all know the power of temptation. We all know the struggle of bad desires in our hearts. We know God made us. He made us to have desires. But there's something wrong with those desires. There's something that's not right about them at times. And today's message is about that and how God helps us and saves us so that these bad desires do not have control over us. We just sang a beautiful hymn that has in this opening verse this interesting thought, the phrase, "Tune my heart to sing thy praise." That gets at the real problem that we're talking about. It has to do with our hearts and the fact that our hearts are out of tune. And so, like a car that needs to be tuned up, no matter how hard you push on the accelerator, if it's out of tune, it's going to cough and sputter and die. Or a musical instrument that's out of tune. No matter what your skill is and how hard you try to play it well, it's not going to produce good music. Or a radio that's not tuned in properly. No matter how hard you turn up the volume, all you're going to get is static. Problem is deep within our hearts. And so Solomon warned us as he said, "Keep your hearts with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." And Jesus said, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, and so on." But we all know that not all of our thoughts are bad, not all of our feelings are bad, not all of our desires are bad. God wants us at times to be angry about certain things, especially sin. And we know that attraction to the opposite sex is necessary if we're to have marriage and to have families. But this is where Satan comes in and exploits that situation. Some desires are good. Some feelings are fine. But that doesn't mean they are all good. That doesn't mean they're all okay. And that's where we often find ourselves falling into this trap, thinking that because we have feelings and we can't control our feelings, then somehow they're all okay. But God tells us in His Word that feelings can be bad and desires can be wrong. And we know that when they go against God's Word. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 that the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit wars against the flesh. And the question of bad thoughts and bad feelings has to do with whether they are with the will of God, tuned into the will of God. And the Holy Spirit always reveals the will of God through His Word. If it doesn't coordinate, if it doesn't work in harmony with God's will and His Word, then it's a bad thing. And it's something that needs to be gotten rid of. Jesus often said things in amazing ways that forces us never to forget them. And so it is in this part of the Sermon on the Mount. When speaking to this problem, He says, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, cast it away from you. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away from you. We know that Jesus is not speaking about literally poking out your eyes and cutting off your hands, because he has already said this is a problem of the heart. And no disciple has ever overcome sin by cutting off parts of their body. The root and the problem of sin is in the heart. But Jesus said it that way to make us realize there is something that has to die. There is something that has to be cast out from us. And that something is our old and sinful heart and all of the sinful desires that go with it. That's what repentance is all about. And that's what we're doing every weekend when we come together for church and worship. We confess our sins and we hear God's promises of forgiveness. And in that way, our hearts are being retuned, the bad being thrown away, the good replacing it. Ezekiel, the prophet, in chapter 36 tells us that God will take this old heart out of us and put a new heart and a new spirit within us. God is the one that gives the good thoughts and good feelings. If we would ask him and invite him to do that work within our hearts. This week I had a funeral, and at this funeral, of course, we come together and hear the word of God, and we remember the one who fought the good fight and has finished his race. And then we go to the cemetery and we take the body and place it before an open grave. And the last words of that committal service are devoted to the living, who are about to walk away from that cemetery and to go on with their lives. From Hebrews chapter 13, we always read this passage. Now may the God of peace, who brought up again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight. It is God who has to do this, so that we can do his will. It is God that is working in us so that we can do what is pleasing in his sight. We cannot fix this problem from the outside. Some of you may remember being punished as a child in school, going up to the blackboard and having to write 50 times or 100 times, "I will not say bad words. I will not say bad words." I doubt that that method actually fixed your problem. And no teacher ever had any student walk up to the marker board and say, "I will not have bad thoughts. I will not have bad thoughts." Those things are known only to God and only to that person. And they can only be solved by God who knows and God who forgives. Repentance is such an important and powerful thing. More powerful than those evil thoughts. And they open the doorway for grace to come into our hearts. Grace that forgives those sins. Even the sins we cannot control. The thoughts and desires that seem to spring from nowhere. Like a lightning bolt that strikes a dry field and starts a fire. Once we recognize that and repent of it, the blood of Christ comes in to put all of that out, to put it down and to make it go away. And that's the great blessing that we have for our disordered desires. God's order, his good order of grace in Christ. I want to conclude the message by reminding you of King David. We often bring King David up in a negative way, remembering his failure in his desire for adultery. We often forget, though, that he was often victorious over other spiritual battles in his life, particularly one that would have to do with anger and with murder. See, King David was instrumental in saving King Saul's life, literally saving King Saul's kingdom. And yet David was one of the most betrayed people that ever lived. King Saul became so jealous of David, and he threw at him all of the forces that he could to try to murder him. David, by God's grace, constantly escaped. But at one point, David stood over the sleeping Saul and could have taken his own spear and run him through. In fact, one of his friends standing next to him was urging him to do just that thing. But David remembered God's word and, through God's grace, was able to put that thought to death and to cast it away from him and to let God take care of the vengeance and the judgment upon Saul. That's a good lesson for us and a great reminder. I put in the bulletin a little note about what affects our desires and our feelings and our thoughts. Obviously, what I've been speaking of here is very important. The Word of God is the most important that affects it. It calls us to repentance and it soothes us with God's forgiveness in Christ, who, through all of the right desires, went to the cross for us, died, and rose again, so that we can have this repentance that is not just a vain regret, but is a powerful thing that puts out fires and puts out the evil thoughts in our hearts and in our lives. But one of the things that also helped David was his music. And I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but there's no other religion on the face of this earth that has produced so much music, not even close. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, also in regard to these feelings and these thoughts and all of these things that go on inside of our hearts, both good and bad, Paul said that we should let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then finally he says, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Through God's word, read, spoken, and sung, God tunes our hearts in the right way so that we can resist all those evil thoughts, feelings, desires, and temptations that are always the very beginning and the very root of all sin. That when those things are put to death and when they die, new things come to life, namely our faith and our praises to God, our love for Him and love for our neighbor. God bless us with our desires in the right place through His Word in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise. I want to conclude with a prayer from Solomon, the son of King David. The Lord our God be with us, as He was with our fathers. May He not leave us or forsake us, that He may incline our hearts to Him, to walk in all His ways, and to keep His commandments. In Jesus' name, amen.